Hey, homies. When's the last time you agreed with that?
Never.
I say that because, man, you guys are just your family to us. And so thank you for loving us. Thank you for always being open for us to come and share what God is doing in us and through us in Morelia, Michoacan, Mexico. Thank you for allowing us to lead you in English. So it's a beautiful day, man. It is so beautiful, and you guys are beautiful. And I say that, especially you guys in the back, because I'm not wearing my glasses. So, but I want to make sure that we are nice and awake this morning. All right. So everybody, just turn to someone who isn't your husband or wife, and just say, "Hey," and shake them on the shoulder and say, "You're looking good." Nice. And while you're coming back together, go ahead and open up your word, God's truth, the word of God, to Mark chapter 10, and let's read some scripture together. Let's learn together this morning. Let's celebrate. Mark chapter 10. So while you're going there, just a little bit of a backstory. This passage or this story can be found in all the synoptic gospels, which synoptic it means like a summary of the gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, you place them side by side, and it's kind of running. You can see side by side the three different perspectives. That's why they're called synoptic gospels. This is the only one that has some of the emotion involved with what's going on. And so we're going to focus on that this morning as we learn about a rich young guy. We're going to read verses 17 through 23. Mark 10. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell to his knees before him, and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God, and God alone. You know the commandments. You shouldn't murder. You shouldn't commit adultery. You shouldn't steal. You shouldn't lie. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and your mother." Now, I'm sure with excitement, this guy said, "Teacher, guess what? All these things I've kept since I was a boy." Jesus knew that. He already knew it. Jesus looked at him and he loved him. And I can imagine at this moment, he probably reached out and put his hand on his shoulder. He said, "But one thing you lack." So he's like, "Okay, look at me deeply in my eyes, young rich ruler. There's one thing you lack." And it says he looked at him and he loved him. "One thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then after that, come and follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." I can only imagine the shock this young man felt when he heard the answer that Jesus gave. He was expecting Jesus to say, "All right, you got it. You did everything I just told you to do," but that wasn't it at all. I can only imagine that shock. He thought he was ready to answer, but he wasn't. Or he was ready for the answer, but he wasn't ready for the answer. So this morning I'm going to throw up a few quotes, and then I think I'm going to throw up a few quotes, and then also give us 4 points for us to learn from this morning, from this rich young guy. I think this guy has a pretty bad rap. You know, a lot of times we read, it's like, don't be the rich young ruler. But there are some things that he did that was good, that was positive. So we're going to learn both the positive and the negative from him this morning. So the first quote I think I have up here, maybe not. The reality is, oh, no. Yeah, I don't have this quote. That's okay. Don't worry about it. Okay, just memorize it. There will be a test later. The reality is that God doesn't give us choices in our lives if he's not already given us what we need to be prepared for it? Because we have the mind of Christ. I'm going to say it one more time, all right? God, the reality is God doesn't give us choices in our lives if he has not already given us what we need to be prepared for it. And that's through the experiences that we have, the way we learn throughout every day, because we have the mind of Christ. The Holy Spirit leads us through that so that we can apply the things that we learn on a daily basis. So we have to be ready to learn when those experiences come. In Mexico, we learn about every day. We learn something new. So this morning, I want to start off by sharing, before we get to the rich young ruler, I want to share a couple of things or a few things that we've learned from our time in Mexico. All right, first thing is this. Go ahead and throw up this next picture. Can you see this on the right? All right, that's a guy on a moped carrying a television. And what we've learned is there are 100 ways to ride a donkey. That's a Spanish phrase. But that's not Spanish. Second thing we've learned is, all right, what we've learned is the bigger the hat, the bigger the shade. Because definitely the sun is hotter in Mexico because we're closer to the equator. And even though it may be the same temperature there, there's just something about going outside. And I'm standing outside and I actually say to myself, man, that radiation is hot. I mean, it's like you can just feel it penetrating your soul. So the bigger the hat, the bigger the shade. All right, third thing that we've learned in Mexico is three is a crowd, but four is a party. And so that's me over on the left sitting in the sidecar. The guy on the motorcycle, his name is Saeed, and he's the newest director of one of our sites in Morelia, the Western site. Great guy. And I'm going to talk more about him toward the end of my sermon this morning. The guys on the back, that's Oscar. Oscar's dad owns a cookie factory in Morelia. And so he works there. Also, Romel in the back, which we talked about Romel this morning. He's a new believer and just a great young man. And so we'll talk about this a little more. The sidecar, check out the sidecar, and we'll look at this picture again later. But that is a 55-gallon drum that Saeed, who is an engineer, and so he created that and attached it not only to his motorcycle here, but also it will attach to his moped. Super cool. Yeah, that was an adventure. So those are some things that we learned while we were in Mexico. Things are just different. But this morning we're going to learn from this young, rich guy. For some of you this morning, you're living an adventure right now where you are. Right where you are. And some people may look at the adventure that you're living and say, man, that is boring. They may say, golly, there's not really a whole lot going on there. But here is the bottom line. You are content because you are right where you know God has called you to in your life. And there are things that you have learned throughout your experiences, and you apply those things on a daily basis to the very things that God has called you to. And, man, you are on cloud nine. I mean, you may have some bad days here and there, but ultimately you realize God has called me to adventure. Even in the mundane, I am going to have a full life today. And you live that, and you share it, and it is awesome. For some of us here this morning, we've all been called to an adventurous life, but maybe some of us this morning, we're missing something in our life. Throughout our journey here, we heard this phrase many times, man, I could never do that. Just couldn't do it. And it makes me think of a rich young ruler when Jesus said, when the truth said, you do this, and he says, man, I could never do that. So maybe some of us here this morning, maybe not, but we live in the camp where we think, man, I could never do that. And so we find ourselves living in a mundane world filled with boredom, lethargy, no excitement. And maybe that's because God has been calling us to an adventurous life, calling us to something great, but we've continually failed to say yes. Instead, we've said, man, I could never do that. When Carly and I lived in Rochester, Minnesota, I was on staff at a church there. We purchased a house, the first house, really, that our son, Noche, Levi, and Wesley were introduced to as our children. And we bought this house. It was a great house. It was a little old, had a dungeon in the basement, but we loved that house. We added a couple of rooms, some bathrooms, and it worked just right for us. However, it had a really steep pitched roof, very steep. And we needed a new roof. So we got some quotes, and it was way too expensive for a youth pastor salary. And so I was just randomly sharing it with a guy at our church. And he says, well, and this was, I promise, just by chance, he said, I do a ministry. I'm a part of a ministry, and we pull together a group of men, and we go and we repair roofs for people who can't afford that. I'm like, man, that's us. He said, do you guys want that help? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Come on. He said, okay, I need you to get all the supplies, and we'll be there Saturday. I'm like, sweet. So I went to the store, and I bought the roof, the asphalt, you know, for the top, what do you call them? Shingles here. Yeah, it's only concrete in Mexico. Been away for 2 years. And so, of course, well, we kept them, but of course I got the wrong color. Okay, thank you. And so brought it. It was there on that Saturday. The men showed up, and they commenced to work. I'm deathly scared of heights. And so gradually, I started making my way up the ladder. Eventually, I made it to the third rung from the top, peered over the top just to see what was going on, and just tried to chill for a little bit, get my bearings. I grew up in Alabama. You never let other men do your work for you. So eventually, I made it on top of the first tier of our roof, which wasn't as steep as the top tier. And so I'm tearing off some shingles, and this is about three quarters into the first day, and we're finishing up the shingles section on one side, and I hear the guy who has volunteered to help me, I hear him begin to lose his balance. And I look up, and he's on the top tier, again, super steep, and I see him as he begins to fall downward towards me. He rolls, and he lands about 10 feet. It's probably from here to this pew in front of me. And I see him as he's about to fall off the edge another probably 15 or 20 feet. I'm like, man. And I have always wondered in these situations, what would I do in these situations? You say you're going to do one thing, but until you get there, you really don't know what you're going to do. And then afterwards, if you didn't do the right decisions, you figure out a way to justify it. And so I'm thinking, man, what in the world do I do? Do I dive? And do I try to at least either grab him, which is probably unlikely. I'm going to prevent him from going off the edge. But do I at least try to grab him enough to blunt the momentum? Or do I try to push him in a way so he doesn't fall over on his neck? I mean, what do I do? Or do I just stand here and do nothing? And so that was the choice that I had to make. What I recognized was it was dangerous, but it was a choice. It was a dangerous choice that I had to make. And so it's when we live an adventurous life, because we encounter these sort of things every day, maybe not this extreme, but we experience daily choices where we have to decide, man, do I do this or do I not? And it's when we do those things, the very things that make us nervous, the very things that we say, man, I could never do that. That's when we live an adventurous life. We find the very thing we're looking for, life. And it's when we disobey, when we say no to those things, that we find death and we find boredom and we find lethargy. You guys get where I'm coming from this morning? We have choices to make. We learn from experiences to make us better so that we can better glorify God. And when those choices come along, we say, yes. Jesus says, sell all your stuff. We say, yes, sir. I'm with you. Give me a week to sell it. Tell me where we're going to meet up. I'll see you in a week, Jesus. That's where we find life. So today, as we look through the four points for this rich young guy, man, let's celebrate learning, positive and the negative. And let's learn together. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look at 4 points from this guy. Lord, thank you for an adventurous life that you give us. Lord, thank you for fulfilling us, Lord, as we find that purpose in you. In Jesus' name, I thank you and I ask. Amen. All right, so number one is this. some good things and some mistakes from a young, rich guy. Number one, this guy came with the right posture. Mark 10:17 says he ran up and he fell to his knees. And when I read this, I couldn't help but think of when I was a student pastor like Chaz. Where's Chaz? I was a student pastor like Chaz, and we had played this game like at different camps, and there was just so much excitement from the, hey, come on. What you got?
What's the clue?
Right here. Take it. Do you need anything else?
No.
All right, don't fall going down the stairs. All right, go. I have no idea what that was about. But I couldn't help but think of being approached by students. They just wanted to know the answer. And this scripture says that he ran up to Jesus and he fell on his knees and he says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And I think there's beauty in the way that he approached Jesus. There's beauty in the way these students approached me. You would not believe the hesitation that these guys had to come up here and do that. But they did it, and afterwards, you guys are going to say, "Man, you guys are super awesome," and they're going to be like, "It's a good day," because they did it. You know, they overcame the things that were holding them back. And so, when we have that type of excitement, when we approach Jesus and when we approach His Word, then beautiful things happen. And I know you guys are a part of a community outreach, a community dinner monthly. And, man, just to have excitement when you're there, it is awesome to give a meal. And that is sufficient. That's enough. But when you go there and people say, "Hey, how are you doing?" You're like, "Man, I can't hold it back. God is great." There's just something about that excitement that's contagious. And this guy, he came with the right posture, physical posture, but he didn't come with the right posture of heart. As you can see at the very end, when Jesus said, "This is what truth requires," and he went away sad. His posture changed. There was no excitement when he said, "Yeah, I could never do that." His posture totally changed. So an application for us this morning is this. When we come to God, when we come to Jesus, come with excitement. Whatever it takes, take a deep breath. Man, brush off the cobwebs, all the dust. Think of all the goodness of God, how great He has been in our life, all the grace that we have received, as Steve talks about so much. But come with excitement. And when we encounter truth, man, just bask in it. Marinate in it like you're a steak. Bask in it like you're at the beach and you're in the sun. It's like, man, this is truth, and I'm living in it. And then share it passionately with others. And you guys can do that through your community outreach. Some of you guys are going through evangelism. You know, it's not all about the words sometimes. It's about the heart. It's about you sharing like what God has done for you with excitement, because He has done great things. Everybody say great things. Number two, lessons from a young rich guy. He asked a question. Verse 17 again says, "As Jesus started on His way, a man ran up to Him. And he fell on his knees before Him. He said, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?'" When we ask questions to God, that means we're trying to find truth. And that is a beautiful thing. I went for a run a couple of days ago. And just out there, me and Iowa asphalt and corn, there wasn't a car in sight for miles and miles. And man, it was beautiful. But I just found myself toward the end just talking out loud, because there's no order out for miles and miles. And I begin to ask God questions. And I'm like, man, this is just so relieving, you know, just being able to talk out loud to Him and share with Him my struggles. And man, it was like, it was cathartic. It's therapeutic for me. And it was beautiful. So it's good when we ask questions to God. The important thing is that we ask the right questions. And I think in just a second, I'm going to give you what I think the right question was. But there's something about when we ask questions where we are transformed and also people around us are transformed. I had an intern one time, and we decided that we would meet up at Panera and we would discuss some things that both of us had been individually studying regarding how to find intimacy in Christ and through Christ. Like, what does that mean? And so we got there about noon, And we began to pore over these scriptures and using cross references. Like, oh, yeah, I think I remember this. Let's find this. And, man, we became broken. You know, 2:30, I was in my 30s. He was in his 20s. And we were broken there at Panera in this back corner. And, man, we would pray over these scriptures. And about 4 o'clock, the staff started bringing us free drinks. And so, and we continued just to pore over the scripture. About 5 o'clock, they moved us into a back, very cushy room just for us. And we continued to pore over scripture and seek this truth. At 5:30, they started bringing us free pie. Man, it was awesome. Not the free pie. What was awesome was that they felt like they wanted to be a part of something so great. What were we doing? We were seeking truth. And we were transformed, and they were transformed, and they didn't even know it. So as we're seeking God's truth, it's important that we seek it fervently, we seek it with excitement, because it's contagious. You guys, maybe some of you aren't familiar with the goth movement. The goth movement was like an early 90s movement, where, and I'm not busting on the goth movement, Sean. I know that's your era. Okay, I know that. It's like black fingernails and, you know, black clothes, black eyeliner if you're a guy or a girl. And you just walk around and everything's just kind of, And now nobody said, okay, I'm gonna dress up like this and I'm not going to say anything. And I'm going to just walk around kind of depressed all the time. No one said, I'm just going to do that and everybody's going to follow me. No, someone said, this is what I was made for and I'm going to do it with passion. And I'm going to convince other people this is the way to go. And then this goth movement showed up because they were passionate about it. It's time, church, for us to be passionate about what we're called to. It's time for us to show excitement about what we're called to. It's time for us to be passionate about the truth that we find in God's word. So here's the question I think is closer to what he should have asked. Here's the right question. Jesus, because of who you are, I want to know you more. Now, he asked, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? He's saying, what can I do with my hands? What thing can I do to inherit eternal life? But this is more of the right question. Because of who you are, I want to know you more. When and how can I know you more? So Jesus' response was not this is what you can do with your hands. He said, go and sell everything you have and then come and follow me. So Jesus' response was, give me your hands. It was, give me the very thing in your life that you're putting before me. So Jesus desperately desires to separate us from the things in our life that separate us from him, whatever those things may be. So maybe you're in the camp this morning, you're saying, man, I could never do that. That doesn't make you a bad person, by the way. But you're saying, I can never do that. Jesus wants to separate you from that thing. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's your grandkids. Maybe it's your job. Whatever it is. And I'm not saying that doing something wild and what the world would say is crazy is the only way to be obedient to what God has called us to. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I'm saying it probably is for some of us. So it's important that we ask questions, but it's important that we ask the right questions. And I think, Steve, you guys have been talking about that, as a matter of fact, here in the church. God wants our heart over our works. He desires to be the motivation behind everything we do. Number 3, what can we learn from this rich, young guy? He sincerely tried to live a good life. Again, when I was in my pastoral stint, we had membership classes for those who wanted to be a part of the church. And I would say 50% of everyone who came in had never truly asked Jesus to be their Savior. And this was in Rochester, Minnesota. And so I would say, well, tell me about your relationship with Jesus. So tell me about how you know God. And their response would be, I've always had a relationship with God. I'm like, well, okay, well, tell me more about that. And they're like, well, I was raised in a Christian family and I've just tried to do good my whole life, and you know, I helped people, and they would name specific things that they did. But the reality is they had never come to a place in their life where they realized they needed Jesus. And so I would back up just a little bit. I wouldn't use Mark 10:17, where Jesus says there's none good except the Father, but one, that's God. But I'll take them through the Romans road where they realize, yeah, I'm a sinner and I'm in a need of a Savior. And I would share the plan of salvation. And most of the time, they would receive Christ just right there on the spot. Sometimes they would say, you know, I'll consider that. And then membership was off the table. But ultimately, that area, and I remember coming home and talking to Carly many times saying, I've never been in a community where goodness got in the way of God, where people just thought, I'm just going to be good, and that's good enough. Because this young rich guy, he was told very clearly, your goodness is not good enough. And so I want to tell you this morning, if you've never received Jesus as your Savior, then you'll never get there by working with your hands. You'll never get there just by being good and doing good things. That's not what it's about. It's about the motivation behind that. What pushes us to work with our hands? I love you, Jesus, so much, I'm going to do this. Because that's what we were created for. So rich young guy, third thing is he sincerely tried to live a good life, but he realized his goodness was not good enough. Number four, lessons from a young rich guy. We need to recognize the invitation when it comes. And can you go to the next slide, Dan? All right, here we go. Man, this is Saeed Tehran. He's the director of Sensor in OA, Madero. He's just a great guy. And I can remember this night clearly. I'd been on this motorcycle with him a couple of times, but never at night on the insane roads surrounding where we lived. Okay. And so he said, hey, Reggie, do you want me to give you a ride home? It's either that or me walk about a mile and a half. I'm like, sure, man. Yeah, this is awesome. He gave me an invitation to ride with him. I'm like, I'm in, Saeed. And then so I'm sitting in the sidecar and up walks Oscar and Romel. And they're going to get on. I'm like, all right, here we go. This is going to be an adventure. And so we got on the motorcycle. This was very common to him. It was not common to me. Got on the motorcycle, and we started riding toward Romel and Oscar's house, and he let them off, and then we had to get back on the Periférico, which is a kind of a larger roadway, a lot of traffic, and did a U-turn, and I started thinking, man, this is a perfect illustration that I'm going to use this summer. I had no idea how I was going to use it, because this is like our life with Jesus. And now, Saeed is not Jesus, okay? His complexion is probably closer to Jesus than mine. But he is not Jesus. But I thought, man, Saeed, he is an awesome, awesome man. I love him. He is always just giving and giving and giving. And I thought, this is an adventure. I had the wind in my face, you know, blowing my hair. It was a beautiful moment. And I thought, is this safe? No! It's not safe. I'm in a 55-gallon drum. But, man, it was just so exhilarating. I thought, do I trust Saeed? And I'm like, 100%. Man, I love this guy. And I had a smile on my face, and I'm like, there's nothing going to happen because I trust this guy so much. And then as we're driving toward our house, and I knew Saeed had some – he's got a bunch of kids – they're great kids, but I knew financially, you know, he's not in a perfect situation. And I thought, man, I need to give him some gas money. And I thought to myself, okay, I need to probably give him maybe 100 pesos. And I promise you, the Holy Spirit reached down and slapped me across the face. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, how dare you? Whew. Someone who gave so much. For me to give so little, 100 pesos. And so, it wasn't like an audible voice, but I felt the Holy Spirit say, you need to give him everything you have in your wallet. I'm like, holy smokes, Jesus, I don't know how much that is. I think I've got like 1,000 pesos in there. And then in my mind, in my sinfulness, which is about 50 bucks, in my sinful nature, I thought, I think I've got like 15 monedas, which are the little coins like tucked away on the side. And before I got through that thought, man, the Holy Spirit just smashed me again and said, you give him everything. And so as we're driving, getting a little closer to the house, and not very safe as we're driving. Man, it is a journey. We get to the house, and as I stand up, I say, "Hey, Saeed, I want to give you some gas money." And I knew he would do this. He said, "No, no, 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 no. I'm not." And he could tell this is serious business. And I just shook my head. I said, "The Holy Spirit said, I just need to give you everything that I have in my wallet." I said, "I don't know how much is there. I'm not even going to count it. I'm just giving it to you." And so he started crying. I started crying. It was one of those type moments for both of us. And we sat there in the silence, just kind of basked in the moment together for a couple of minutes. And he said, "Thank you." And he got on his motorcycle, and he drove away. Man. And I thought, that's the way it is. That's the way it is with us. Jesus gives us an adventurous life, but he says, "You need to give me everything. Don't even hang on to the monadas." That's what he requires of us. That's what he asks of us. So, to close out this morning, maybe you're here this morning and you live in the camp where you said, "Yeah, I could never do that." I want us to recognize this morning that God gives us an invitation. And we all have an invitation to follow him, whatever that is. I'm not saying it's anything different than of maybe what you're already doing. Maybe you're already exactly where you need to be, but maybe some of you here this morning, you're not. And you are just bored out of your mind. And it's because God has been calling you to something great, and you've decided you can never do that. It's okay to do that. It's okay to say yes, that's what I'm saying. So that's the invitation this morning. So if you're here this morning, Carly, could you come up and play for a few minutes? If you're here this morning and that's you, you live in that camp, I just want to challenge you to reconsider for your stance. Reconsider the things that you have in your life that are greater than your love for your Creator, who gave you all those things in the first place. And if you want to pray this morning, if you want to come down, you can do that. But we are going to have an altar call. And if you want to come and pray, come and pray. I want to ask church members, if you see some friends coming, come and pray with them. And let's celebrate each other. And when we need prayer, we need to celebrate that. When other people, they need prayer, we need to celebrate that also. So I want to ask you guys, let's take a few moments and just reflect on where we are in our relationship. Let's learn from this young, rich guy. And to close out, so here I am on my rooftop. My buddy has just fallen from the top. I see him falling downwards. He lands about 10 feet in front of me, and I think, do I dive or do I just stand here? And this is not about me, but I dove. And I'm so proud that I dove. And so maybe for some of you here today, God is saying, "Man, you just need to dive. Take that chance." And that's what I want to challenge you with this morning. So let's all stand together. I want to pray. When I say amen, if you want to come and pray, come and pray. If you want to pray where you are, that's totally fine. And this is the way we'll close out the service this morning. Father, Lord, you call us to an adventurous life. You call us to many things that the world would say is crazy. But Lord, there's adventure in that, and there's excitement in that. So God, help us to say yes to whatever that thing is in our life, those things that you may be calling us to through the leading of your Holy Spirit. God, you are good. Lord, for those of us here this morning who may hesitate in giving you everything, God, reassure us through the comforting work of the Holy Spirit that it's okay to say yes. God, we've seen so many people in Mexico who, it's like the widow's mite. You know, they give very little by world standards, but it's their everything. Lord, I pray that we would have that same mentality to give you everything that we have. So, Lord, move in our hearts right now. Lord, convict us if conviction needs to happen. Lord, encourage us if encouragement needs to happen. Lord, as we spend the next couple of minutes just thinking of you, focusing on you, where we are in our relationships, and giving to you back what is yours. In Jesus' name we ask. You guys are going to be introduced to one of the most awesome men in the world, Chaz.
Before we wrap up here this morning, could I have all the elders come up here with us? Could I have all the Nichols family come up here? Get on up here, you guys. And Steve and Carol, you too. So I only met these guys recently. I've only been here a couple years, and then they... You guys left right when I showed up, pretty much. But they've been really, really special. And I know they're your family and they're our family. And so we just wanted to spend some time praying for them and really just lifting them up to God because they're doing great work. And we want God's hand to be in what they're doing. And it is. But, yeah, so... Ken is going to pray for the family, and then Carol's going to pray for the kids.
Will you pray with me? Lord, we come before you now, and thankful is in our hearts for the Nichols family. Thank you for how you're doing and working in their lives, and how you called them on this ministry here in New Mexico. Lord, they gave up things to go up there and to minister to other people. They did what the scripture said. They gave up what was the material things to them. They go out to serve you. So just pray for them as they're there now, and they do a mighty work for you. Just pray for them, too, as they travel in states here right now and the different churches, to give them safety, but also give them the encouragement that they need and as they go out and work for you. So, too, as a congregation, we come before you now and recognize that we our missionaries, too, when we walk out these doors of this building, that you've called us to be the same as Nichols' family is, missionaries for you, that we can see people come to know you and come to know in a personal way. So, Lord, again, thank you for the Nichols family, and just bless them as they go out and do the work for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Steve and I know a little bit about missionary kids, and we have a real heart for them. I'm going to try really hard not to cry during this one. I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose. Lord, when you called Reggie and Carly, you knew they would have four kiddos traveling with them. Their lives were turned upside down in ways they couldn't have imagined and really didn't ask for. Yet we have seen and we trust that you will continue to go before them, that you will meet them where they are, each one of them, and you have gifted them to be in the place that they're in. May their lives be enriched 100-fold. they've given up a lot. They've said a lot of goodbyes. They've just lost a lot. But may you return to them in beautiful new ways, things and people that they've lost with new and different relationships. They will forever be changed by this adventure. May they feel your love for them. May they feel your presence. And may they feel your delight in them daily. Hold them tightly. Protect them from the enemy. Use this adventure to add depth to their faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right, so as Reggie said this morning, and as the Spirit talked to us, say yes to that crazy thing that's in the back of your mind that God's wanting you to do. You've been the church gathered. Now be the church sent. Have a wonderful week.